any intention to move the damn team. If I did, I will tell you about it, okay?
The Colts had to sneak out of town at night. It degrades a great tradition of a city in football. And I guess the third thing would be, I hate to see a man cry.
It's not your ball team. It's not our ball team. It's my family ball team. I paid for it and I worked for it.
Obviously, this is an interesting week for Baltimore sports fans. You have opening day around the corner and also a unique and somewhat somber anniversary 30 years ago when the Baltimore Colts left town. Joining us, someone who was very much a part of not the process, but the storyline to it, and a story I think many fans are familiar with, John Zeman, who is the executive director of Baltimore's Marching Ravens and, of course, once upon a time, the Baltimore Colts Marching Band. John, how are you?
Good. Thank you for having me today.
Well, let's go back 30 years, and I know this story's been told. I've heard you tell it before, the great ESPN 30 for 30, the band that wouldn't die. Take us back 30 years ago, really before the middle of the night walkout by the Colts to Indianapolis. Take us maybe a week prior to that and the whispers and the rumors.
Well, let me take you back over a year, okay? Almost a year to the day, and a lot of people don't realize this. To me, the NFL put the bullets in the gun, cocked it, and gave it to Bob Irsay, and he put it to the heads of the state legislature and Governor Mayor William Dollar Shave at the time. They gave complete vote for him to move his team. A lot of people don't realize that, but he had a complete carte blanche to move the team anytime he wanted to, a unanimous vote by the NFL. So that only after 2 years of him going to other cities saying, do you want my team? Make me deal. He'd be in Portland, Oregon. He'd be in Indianapolis. He'd be in Arizona. Anybody would make him an offer, he'd be there. Then he went back to William Donald Schaefer and says, these are the 10 things that I want. Schaefer would break his neck to get it done to the city council of Baltimore and to the state legislature and come back to Irsay and say, okay, you got the 10 things. No, I want 4 more. I want 16 more. He just added and added and added. He was basically using us, leverage. That team was going to move no matter what. There was moving vans already in Hagerstown, Maryland at a hotel. Mayflower moving vans 1 week in advance, just waiting to move in. So basically the fix was in, and it was the most horrible day in any sports history to see an owner do something like that to the city.
That's fascinating, John. I haven't heard that a lot, but you think basically that Irsay in his current state, which was, you know, not much and infamous in its own right, that he had made a decision already in advance that no matter what, at some point, the Colts were leaving town.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, the night they left, okay, like I said, the moving vans, everything was ready to go. It just, he used eminent that we were painted into a corner. And so the state legislature had nowhere to go, so they started enacting eminent domain. He had it ready to go. I mean, you don't move that fast to move a team in a matter of, you know, 2 days. The employees of the Baltimore Colts came in the next day after the move. All the furniture was gone. The whole place was stripped, all empty rooms. They even had to sit on the floor to meet with Michael Chernoff, the lawyer. All their checks were through a bank in Indianapolis.
Mm.
So don't tell me the fix wasn't in.
No, I believe it.
That to my grave, you know. And like I said, that comes down to the determination of the wonderful fans in Baltimore. Our great mayor became our governor, William Dollar Schaefer. The determination of the Colts corrals to stay together. The Ed Block Courage Award, the largest banquet in the National Football League, more or less became even bigger. The Colts band staying together, going to 11 years, doing 30 NFL games to promote Baltimore, Maryland, the fight to have the stadiums built. It shows the wonderful determination of the city, what great sports fans we have, and that's why I'm so proud of our fans.
Yeah, I agree. Let's look at it in that light now. The 11 years, which I was really growing up and coming of age without an NFL team here, really experiencing it from that vantage point and getting behind every Give Baltimore the Ball t-shirt every hope of an expansion or even a team moving here, and then having your heart broken. But really, the determination, John, never wavered at all. And that really is an inspirational story in a lot of ways. That and you were really at the forefront of that, if we can go back through those 11 years in the aftermath of the Colts leaving town. And take us through the first the band staying together, and then what their mission statement would be in the next course of history over the following decade.
Well, like I said, that day, let's face it, the people that out there in your radio listening audience can tell you that we were all in. We knew it was coming. We just didn't know when. And we were in flux. We didn't know how to handle it. You know, do we go to court? We're not going to court. Are they coming back? Are they not coming back? We just didn't know. And it was the determination of the members of the Baltimore Colts marching band who didn't ask me. They told me, we're staying together. Mm. You can come with us, but we're staying together. And they were the ones that had the determination. The first year we organized into a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization, Baltimore Colts Band Incorporated. Then we decided we would stay on the home front to keep the fires burning, doing parades, concerts, to establish ourselves. Then the second year, 1985, we decided we got to do more than this. We got to. And that's when we decided to come up with a plan. And we took it from our forefathers. In 1951-52, we lost the team, the Baltimore Colts. The band stayed together with the same mission about bringing NFL back to Baltimore. They did other NFL games. And we took this and said, we got to more or less emphasize this and go broke and do this. And we decided, well, okay, we're going to go. Who's going to take us? We went to other NFL cities, and we more or less sent letters, information out. Nobody would touch us because they're afraid it would be a protest group. Art Modell was the first one to say, I'll take a chance. Good Art.
Amazing.
We went to Cleveland. They saw that we went there as Baltimore's marching musical ambassadors. And from there on, Art called his buddies in the NFL and said, hey, these guys came up. They did a great job. Remember Baltimore? Give them a shot. And there was also our dear friend John Unitas also got on the phone and called different people. He knew throughout the NFL ownership to say, hey, as he always called it, his band. My band needs a place to play. Between Art Modell and Johnny Unitas, we were on our way. There's only one city that said absolutely not, and that was the Washington Redskins.
Incredible. It's just, it feeds in every complex and fear this city and its sports fans already have. It's an amazing tale, John. And the end result, not only us getting a new team and a successful organization with a competent owner, and then the Baltimore Colts marching band transforming into Baltimore's marching Ravens and being such an important part of the fabric of Sundays now in football season. Looking back at this story, I mean, it's incredible to think about, John.
Yeah, no, people say that. You know, at that time, we honestly didn't know we were making history. Our mission was to get a football team back here. Our mission was once that team came back here, they called themselves the Baltimore Hornets. We wanted to be the Baltimore Hornets marching band to continue to represent them in music and entertainment. And I always say the football gods looked down on us after we more or less put down and not get an expansion team, that, you know, we were blessed with getting Art Modell and Steve Bisciotti as owners. I'll say that the late, great Art Modell and then Mr. Bisciotti has carried on the tradition. We're so lucky to have Steve Bisciotti as an owner. We're very lucky. As like I said, you look at other ownerships around the National Football League, how they're treated.
No,
you know, he's a man. He bought this team. Yes, he's a businessman. He wants to make money. But he's also one of us.
He is one of us. There's no doubt about it. John Zeman, the executive director of Baltimore's Marching Ravens. It's a wonderful story. I think most fans at this point have seen the great 30 for 30, the band that wouldn't die, the Barry Levinson picture from ESPN. And, John, we can't thank you enough. And you and Vince Bagley and our own John Patty, who'll be emceeing tomorrow night at Stevens University. Go out and see it. We're sponsoring the event here at WBAL, and we're excited to be a part of it. And we're trying to do our own tribute here tonight on what happened 30 years ago.
And also, like I said, tickets are like only $50 for museum members, $55 for non-museum members. It starts at 6 p.m. at the Rockford Center, you know, at Stevens University at the Owings Mills campus. And you go on to www.missiontix.com/Colts1984 and get your tickets. Please come out. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be a cocktail hour, silent auction, and also, you know, like I said, a great panel discussion on history and heritage. And it's not so much going to be something of, like, pessimism or a celebration. It's going to be something we're going to discuss, Q&A, you know, with the people who actually were involved, and we're going to have fun doing it. Say, hey, look, we did it.
We did it. We're still here.
We got the NFL back in Baltimore, and thanks to wonderful fans.
John Zeman, thank you so much. We'll catch up soon, okay?